Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Welcome, y'all. On today's Season 3 premiere, we are diving into Southern hospitality. What is it and where do I start? If you haven't already, join our mailing list by visiting steelmagnoliaspodcast.com, or you can follow the link in today's show notes. Now, let's head to the table. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel
with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair. Happy 2021!
Happy New Year. Yes. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
So good to be back at the table with all you friends.
But happy new season, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Season 3. Here we go.
So I feel like people need some stuff to look forward to besides losing weight. And I hope y'all all lose weight. I hope we all lose weight. Not just y'all, we. I put a we in that. But I wanted to announce something so I can say that you heard it here first, because yes, that's just a fun thing to claim.
It is fun to claim that.
I heard the movie Fried Green Tomatoes turns 30 this year.
Which blows my mind.
And they're bringing it back to theaters.
Woohoo!
So in May, I mean, people are probably going, I haven't been to a movie theater in a year.
Maybe by May we'll
maybe
be.
Maybe you haven't. But maybe by May, yeah,
yes,
you'll be ready to go back. Or maybe you've already been back a few times. It'll probably be limited seating. I don't know all the details. You're definitely going to hear us talk about it again.
For sure.
But we're big fans of that title. And it'll be something to put on your calendar for
That's
May.
Right.
So we're excited about it.
We got good feedback on that Fanny Flag episode. And I had one of our listeners tell me, I think that you guys should have Flag Day be Fanny Flag Day, and that you guys would have her on every Flag Day.
That's
I thought
awesome.
That was hilarious.
Name it and claim it. Let's love. I love that. Well, today's topic, I feel like I just need to go ahead and say hospitality, even if you're Southern, is not an easy thing to tackle.
I'm so glad that this is our kickoff, because it's such a part of our culture, such a part of our heart for this podcast.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kick off with something that's integral.
Right. But it can be learned and practiced.
It has to be.
And built upon.
Actually. Yeah.
Right. So I say that to say, there's my caveat. If this is not something that you feel like you have a passion or, that you excel at, or that you're already rocking at, and that you need to just add to it, we're starting from ground zero.
That's right. If you just broke out in hives because that was the subject and you're like, no, we got you.
Well, we consider and even say the phrase a lot of times that there's plenty of room at the table.
Yes.
And the question is there? Because we kind of have to make room.
That's
in
very
fact,
true.
I even had the picture of whoever came up with for table, like dining room table manufacturing.
The leaf.
Whoever came up with that had a heart for hospitality.
For sure.
Because they were like, well, sometimes you're just going to have some extra people there.
Yeah.
And there's
you don't always, that's going to make the room more crowded. So on a day-to-day, you may not want the leaf, but sometimes you got to have the leaf.
Yeah. So anyway.
And for some of us, even without the leaf, you know, like it's, for me, it's just a one person. So like, I still even have to be intentional to have, without the leaf, the table full. For others, every meal is full with their family, and now we've got to put the leaf in to invite
yes,
somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I also want to just be upfront and say hospitality is not dinner parties and linen napkins. Although it can be.
It can be.
But that is not all that it is.
Well, and I do think there's a distinction we need to make between hospitality and entertaining.
Yes.
Because there is a difference.
There is. But I don't think anybody ever voices
talks
that.
About that. Yeah. And I think that's important because not everybody has the means even to do grand entertaining.
Right.
What you think of in, you know, some of the finer homes of Charleston, like where
seriously.
You're making punch for.
Yes.
I was looking in a cookbook and the punch recipe was for 350 servings.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Like, who does that? Who gets to, I don't know. I've never.
Well, I got the chance to see even at our Tennessee governor's residence.
Yes.
They have a punch bowl that okay. sits out all the time in their dining room. Like, you can tour their residence.
Is it massive?
I think there were 60 cups.
Okay.
Or, yeah, and punch glasses just sitting around the massive bowl. And I was just like.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
So that's a whole nother level. We're not talking about that. Like, don't, if that's what you think we're talking about. No, we gotcha.
No, we're kind of talking about more heart issues,
that's
if
so
you
good.
Will. But I was curious just to know, like, what do people think of when they hear the word hospitality?
Okay.
So I polled our people on Instagram and Facebook. And I mean, I got all over the board.
I can't wait to hear all of this.
Which I think.
I saw some of them.
It's telling as to.
For sure.
Why this is both a fun topic, but also a stressful one. Because everybody has a different opinion as far as what's hospitality. So here's just a couple of the responses. Serving others in kindness, friendship, hosting and welcoming people into your home, comfort, a pitcher of iced tea on the porch, my grandparents.
I love that.
Comfortable. My grandma. Graciousness. Caring more about your guests' needs than you do your own.
Ooh,
anticipating
good.
Your guests'
That's
needs.
That's key.
Couple of responses that just were food or food comfort and making others feel at home or like family. Lainey.
What?
I know. Somebody responded, Lainey.
Aww.
I was like, that is precious. Again, act of loving on your guests, welcoming them. So I'm hearing the word welcome a lot.
And comfort.
And comfort. Warm, inviting, safe, laughter, food, love, graciousness, hugs. That was pre-COVID. They put in parentheses. And then also somebody was dishonest and put stress.
Okay.
Not to say these other answers weren't honest.
No, but if that's what
was,
they're feeling, that's what they're feeling. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Sharing what you have.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that more later. So those were just some of the initial people when they were asked on Facebook and Instagram what you guys thought.
Well, I always kind of like to hear a definition.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
So I've got a couple here.
I do too. This
oh,
be
do
fun.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one was just Wikipedia.
Okay.
It says, Southern hospitality is a phrase used in American English to describe the stereotype of residents of the Southern United States as particularly warm, sweet, and welcoming to visitors to their homes or to the South in general.
Okay.
And then from a biblical perspective, a resource that I really like that was talking about hospitality gave the definition, hospitality creates a safe, open space where a friend or stranger can enter and experience the welcoming spirit of Christ in another.
That's cool.
So that's more of like a spiritual side of it.
And the other two that I was going to throw in the hat to have more of a biblical undertone, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. One is from a book I just started called Saved by Faith and Hospitality, and it describes it as hospitality as the transformation from stranger to guest. Hospitality is the perfect bridge builder. And then She Reads Truth is a app book community.
Yeah.
They have lots of different things,
different resources,
but I did a study of theirs once on hospitality, and I'm doing it again right now, and they described hospitality as finding people on the margins and bringing them in.
So good.
And I thought, you know what, that is hospitality, and the method that we do that is where there's variety.
And
the core,
everybody is in the margins at some point.
Exactly.
In time or life or region or whatever.
Yeah. And I would say that the reason why I just said a moment ago that there's biblical undertone is that we, out of our own strength, and ideas would not be able to consistently do hospitality well.
Or it doesn't even come natural.
Right.
You're very,
or have a desire to.
Right.
Like, I mean,
in the natural, we're very self-preserved and care about our own needs. And so it's very unnatural to then think about other people's
sharing
needs.
And being, so open. So we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
But we also pull up a chair because a chair was pulled up for us by God himself to be in his family.
That's right.
And so,
good.
Yeah, so I was, we're actually told to practice hospitality from scripture.
And that's an active, to practice.
But it's I love that translation that says practice, because it does take some practice. I don't think anybody just comes out into this world and is rocking at hospitality. I think there's people that have more of a bend to
it
in the same way that we're gifted in different areas of life.
Right.
But I think it takes practice. And
and I also think it's a state of mind. Like, hospitality to me is a state of mind. And back to your biblical reference, I feel like there's almost a state of mind when you are following Jesus that actually nothing you have is actually yours. Like, it's on loan from him. And so
that's a mind shift for sure.
That's a mind shift. And so if what I own is actually his and he's entrusting me with it, it feels different.
Yeah.
Than if it's mine because I worked hard for it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I deserved this and it was owed to me. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I about went down a rabbit trail.
But I'm just saying that's two different mindsets. So sometimes we even have to go, oh, no, I feel the deserve thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's where you are, then you just, the first step is like, do you want that to look different?
Yes.
And asking, like, oh, I see that in my heart.
That's good. Yeah. Well, to eliminate sort of some intimidation factor, I wanted to just be very upfront and say, I'm really trying to be more hospitable in terms of my actual neighbors, like people that reside on my street, you know?
Because I mean, literal neighbors.
A lot of people say, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is, the man that you passed today that was in need of money, the car that you saw that was broken down, the lady at the grocery store that didn't have,
there are those are your neighbors,
quote unquote neighbors that we encounter through the day. But a personal goal of myself was to really try. I can't get to know and love on everybody all at once, but to try and be more mindful of the people that literally live on my cul-de-sac. And so I have a very elderly next door neighbor. She lives by herself. Her name is Anne. And she is precious, but I've only been around her a couple of times. I don't know her all that well.
She's probably not out in the yard.
She doesn't come outside.
Like the ones with kids. Right.
So that's a little harder.
Yep. And COVID all the more.
Right. So she has been away in the hospital, not COVID related, but she had a leg issue that kept her out of our neighborhood for about 6 months. She was in like the hospital and then rehab. And I missed her. Like her house was dark and stuff. And so anyway, I put a little welcome basket on her doorstep when she came home. So I have the voicemail that I have to play.
No.
And I want to play this as encouragement to each of us that this sort of relationship with your neighbors is possible, because this is a first for me. So I wanted to share share this with y'all.
I can't wait.
Laura Beth, this is Ann next door. I made it home just fine yesterday, and I wanted to call and tell you thank you so much for the little welcome pumpkin loaf and the hand wipes. That was so nice of you to do and so sweet. I don't know of any better neighbor I've ever had that compares to you. It's just, you're a real gem. But anyway, I do thank you, and I hope to be talking to you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm like ready to cry.
I know.
Again.
I am too. And I love her little accent.
Because,
but that's a total side note.
I mean, y'all, that did not take much. Mm. Again, like I said, I don't do like a weekly Bible study with her or have coffee once a week with her. I just took a basket over that had a pumpkin roll and a hand towel and some hand wipes. And the only reason I knew that she was coming home that day is because I had been getting her mail for like months.
Yeah.
So that,
so
was,
that
something
was helpful
in
too,
a service
in
sort
a
of
practical way.
Way
to help her.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that little step, now I've been deemed like
the best neighbor she's ever had.
Come on, y'all. The bar is low. Like, that's why I wanted to play it, is y'all, like, it's little steps are going to make huge strides our relationships.
Yeah, that encourages me too. Because sometimes we think, oh, I don't have the time to do the blah, blah, blah every week. Well, yeah, it might not take as much as you think.
Yeah.
To show hospitality.
Yeah. And she's, I would consider her an easy neighbor to start with, to love on. You know, she doesn't have rude kids that are, you know,
screeching in and out of the driveway in their cars. And yeah.
So I did start with her because she seemed like somebody that was obviously right next door, but, you know, seemed very doable. But anyway, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge that it's possible. So,
well, I found an article in Southern Living from 2017 that gave six qualities that kind of made up for Southern hospitality. Okay. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Can I go over those? Yeah. So the number one on their list was politeness.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were just talking about, she's an easy neighbor. I was thinking, well, when people are just in general polite,
yeah,
that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the ones who aren't polite that need it the most.
Exactly.
But that is a characteristic you would see that would cause people to say, wow, the South is so hospitable. And politeness can look a lot of different ways, but it's respectful language.
Yes.
Which I know the South has not always excelled in every
right
person. But respectful language is huge. And even training up the little ones, you know, yeah, to use that.
Yeah.
I like that. In the South, you still hear children say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's good.
It shows a respect for elders.
Yes.
That you don't see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not rushing conversations. I think that's a general thing that causes the South to seem more hospitable. Our pace of life in general is a little slower.
Yes, it is. That's what a lot of people would say,
and
too.
And that causes there to be even room
right
for holding a door open.
Yep.
Like, that leads to other characteristics mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. go down the line, mm-hmm. just the general pace of life.
Yeah.
So, politeness. Number two was good home cooking.
That helps
now,
a lot.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a chef quality cook, but just... That was just one of the characteristics mentioned. Yeah. And you know what? I heard, I'm getting off on a little tangent, but I thought it was so funny. One time in talking about the gifts of the Spirit that are in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
there's a couple different gift lists. But one person was talking about, you know, so many people think like pastor and apostle and those kinds yes. of things. Those are, he was like, give me the muffins in the lobby, like the hospitality, that is where it's at. That's important. And it just made me laugh because I think that's so funny. But anyway, okay, number three, kindness.
Mm-hmm. We heard that listed on a lot of what people said.
Very key.
Yeah.
And I even liked the statement, looking at strangers as friends we haven't met yet.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, helpfulness. And that looks yeah. a lot of different ways, but giving directions to those that are lost, taking photos for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, to me, that pace of life thing helps.
True.
Because if I'm hustling to get to the bank to make a deposit, I don't have time to stop to give you directions.
That's
but
true.
But if I'm...
Yep.
Building in a little margin.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Charm, having grace under pressure and making others feel welcome.
Yeah.
And charity, helping others.
Help.
Things.
A lot of this is service related. Yeah. It really is. Well, I don't think I also mentioned some other words that I just on my own was thinking about in terms of, like, I don't know, a definition of hospitality, but it is sacrificial.
Yes.
It's messy and oftentimes unplanned. And the unplanned portion...
That's the hard part for me.
It's the hardest, but it was the place I was challenged the most when I read that book we mentioned last episode, The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Yes.
You have to create margin in your life
yeah.
for places to be able to be hospitable. I'm not talking about leaving every Friday and Saturday night open so that you can have a neighbor over for dinner. But if your life and your schedule is so tight that even if somebody
had a traumatic thing, you couldn't help.
Right.
Because it's soccer night right. or whatever. Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Unplanned is unplanned, meaning something might have to give. Like, it's not that you, oh, good, I'm glad you called because Tuesdays from 3 to 4
is my hour.
Is when I usually do some sort of hospitality move. So you're good. You know, like, but I just mean, you know, like the amount of stuff we say yes to.
Yeah.
And I think, how much that doesn't sometimes leave room for hospitality. So.
Yeah. I think it's funny how oftentimes we hold ourselves to such a different standard than others, too. Like, have you ever thought about, let's say you were, you know, had a friend that you could tell they really, you know, you were having coffee with them and they really needed to continue this conversation, but you had to get home or something.
Yeah.
And I might be thinking, my house is not clean enough to have them come.
Yeah.
And they're not going to even notice that.
No.
And I wouldn't notice it if I went to theirs. It's yes. just interesting how our mindset can be such that we hold ourselves
okay.
to a way higher standard than I would
yes.
if I went to their house.
This is a great area. So let's go ahead and talk about this whole mindset that we're going to have to shift away from comparison.
Oh, in every part of life.
In every part of life.
But for sure for hospitality.
But we can't think of it as, okay, bigger house, bigger opportunity to entertain.
No.
Or more seats or sofa space, more opportunity to host or more comfortable place to host. You can have a really big house and have no interest in having anyone over.
Well, it's usually the places when I have felt like I'm thinking about when people were giving their answers to hospitality and they were saying grandparents or comfort, I would bet that those weren't the biggest houses.
Right.
Or the, like,
yeah, sometimes it's the opposite,
it's
right?
It's the opposite.
The smallest, coziest. But even size, okay, let's talk about just our things. What if you have a really small place, but it's, you've put a lot of money into it, you've got really nice carpet.
Or, right. You so know, now like, I don't want kids, I just want clean
yeah,
adults all of it. That don't crumble cookies in the carpet. Yeah.
So it's almost like we have to not look at the size or condition of our home or our stuff, but instead like it's a heart condition.
It is. And I still go back to if you're looking at it as it's yours because you worked hard for it, or is it God's and he's got it on loan? He's entrusted you with it.
Yeah.
He certainly is going to expect you to
yeah
share it
yeah.
and not hoard it.
Yeah. Well, I truly believe that you can be an incredibly hospitable host at a coffee shop.
Yep.
Or on a public playground or in a community library room.
I'm so glad you're mentioning this.
I mean, in fact,
because I had written, you can be show hospitality outside of wherever you live.
Yes.
If you're in an apartment, still can be the most hospitable person in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. And a lot of times even places like an apartment complex have a community space.
That's
and so
true.
You just have to be
so
creative and look at what you do have.
Available. That's right.
Right. You've got a bigger living room space with the clubhouse than I do.
That's right.
But like when you think about like strangers, actually a neutral location is much more approachable place to invite somebody.
At least to start.
Yeah. And then when you feel more comfortable, you can maybe move, you know, into your home
right.
or into their home or
right.
into, you know, a more intimate space. But at least initially, I think a neutral space is actually the preference. And then I would just say, you know, I remember when we had our son Jacob. So this was 3 years ago. And we had more visitors in our home than ever.
Yeah.
Because people were coming to bring meals and, you know, a gift or
see that
pray over
pie.
Us. Yeah, or just
yeah.
see the baby. And I had the least amount of time than ever to tidy up, the least amount of energy to do so. And I was, you know, of course, you're in a fog of like no sleep and healing physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just like a fog. But it was very humbling because people, although they wanted to come, you know, I had no choice in, well, I guess I did have a choice in letting them come or not.
But you needed
no.
the meal because you
I needed the
you
meal.
Were too tired to cook.
But, you know, I mean, these were like, you know, the pastor wanted to come, like people with, you know, bigger, maybe bigger influence, like some uh-huh. of the people that were my husband's bosses. And I was like
thinking
very flustered.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time they're over at our house. I haven't even been able to vacuum that chair they're about to sit on that is actually the dog's chair that has all, you know, like just these scenarios yes. where you're almost ambushed and you're forced to be hospitable. Nobody mentioned the dog hair to me. Right? Like, I don't even really know if anyone noticed that they right. walked out of my house with some dog hair on their behind from yeah. sitting down. Like, so I don't know. I just also think that even though it can be hard, humble pie is sometimes good for us to swallow.
Yeah.
And although I felt a little ambushed in that scenario, it was also good for me to be like, you know what?
It
is what it is.
Yeah.
And that was a scenario that nobody was even really looking. And so I almost was receiving the hospitality even though I was in my own house.
Yes.
And that happens sometimes too.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So I just thought, you know, sometimes in life and like, you know, you've been receiving hospitality here. You've had to receive meals. You've had surgery. Like it is humbling.
And I can't even clean. So I've had to
You're in the
same
scenario
thing where I'm like, okay, I see four dust bunnies in that one room and there's not one thing I can do about it
exactly.
right now. And there's the tap on the door.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But they probably don't even notice that.
But even if they did, it's like, that's not what they're there for. People
that's right.
need to talk. People need connection. Like, anyway, so I think it's also good, you know, aside from our houses, our bank accounts, the things that are really easy to see with the eye and things we compare, I think we also need to cast out and not compare stages of life, because you like we're at very different stages of life. So sometimes this podcast is even more fun and unique because we offer even
different perspectives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we finish each other's sentences like that. So
well, yeah, I don't have kids, and so I have to be intentional to think about what their needs are, because I don't have that like on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
So if people are bringing kids, I have to think through like, okay, you know, what are their needs?
Yeah. I would say I'm still trying to figure out how you host in your home with a kid or kids in the mix, or like whether you're hosting, you're the only one.
It's almost easier if there's a few kids, because then they kind of entertain each other.
Yeah. Like I really wish I had a friend or two with really young children that I could watch like model this.
Uh-huh.
Because I haven't really gotten to see this up close and personal. So, I mean, I would even love to hear from
others
people listening
who are doing
to this
it.
Right now. If you have, and I'm talking like preschool age, like
yeah.
they can't
littles.
Go to their room and entertain themselves, or they're not really like old enough to be in the bonus room playing by themselves. Like they need some sort of eye on them or they're going to need some check-in a little more. I'd love to hear stories of anyone that they feel like maybe they've seen it done.
Yeah.
Well, or have a good example. I welcome those.
I do love when the kids of all ages are incorporated into the mealtime, though, instead of like just being the adults are eating here, the kids are eating here. Like, I think it's good for kids to start getting used to conversations with strangers and adults.
Are you like anti-kids table? Or you just want them in the vicinity?
Not necessarily anti-kids table, but I do think, and again, I think it takes practice.
Yeah.
Kids don't just naturally know how to answer questions from adults. You have to help them.
That's true.
Or even have conversation starters. And we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think it's so good for parents to cultivate that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it can be done before you arrive at a gathering or something.
Yeah.
But I think it's totally fine if it's in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, where you say, Jacob, ask grandma about when she went to England.
Yeah.
You know, or so you're having them
do
ask
asking.
The question, but
That's
you're
good.
Prompting
yeah.
it, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
or that kind of thing, just to help them along. So they get used to like, oh, it's okay for me to ask that because I want to know that.
Yeah, that's good. And again, that's an age thing, because at this point.
Right now, Jacob's three. That's
he's not asking that. And it's not fun for me to have him at the table. So I'm going to have him have a snack on the side so I can actually talk
have
to
a,
you.
Yeah.
And so just all of those elements, you know, and the host being aware of that, or me being aware of that, that, you know, if he's going to be there, then it's going to be really hard for me to listen to somebody that really needs to talk.
I think that there are occasions when everybody needs it to be adult only. You know?
For sure.
Like, there's times when
that's not fair
you
to the
just
other people.
Have to get a sitter.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be,
yep.
We want adult conversation. Yeah. And then there's times when, like, no, we want the kids to.
Right. Or see just, how you can't just always divide them.
Yeah.
Because that's not real either.
Yeah.
So, well, what else you got on hospitality, sis?
Well, just in addition to that hospitality outside of the walls, I think, again, even kind of thinking through what is ours that we're sharing.
Ooh.
Hospitality can look like, oh, yeah. My new neighbor doesn't have a leaf blower and I do, then I'm going to let her use mine because she's out there raking and this would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't have a leaf blower, so don't ask me if you need one, but that kind of thing.
Real life example. She actually needs to receive one. So if you have one, offer it
up. But that kind of thing. Or, you know, I had some in these surgery times, I've got a car that's sitting in the driveway. So there's been a couple of times I've been able to say, hey, do you need to use my car?
Yes.
Because I have that available, not using it. Same for I work from home. So even sometimes in normal life, I can say like, oh, you can use my car. I'm just working today.
Yeah.
I need it back by 5:00, but
that's so good.
So just looking at things that you have that somebody may need to borrow.
Yeah.
That's hospitality.
It is.
Even though it's not what we generally think of first.
Yeah.
And then I was even thinking of co-hosting. If you don't have the space, but you have the heart, and somebody else may be willing to use their house.
That's true.
But they don't have time to take care of all the details.
That's
then
so
y'all can
true.
Do it together.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something you've been wanting to, dinner party you've been wanting to do, maybe you do the cooking.
Yeah.
And the other person says, sure, you can, you know, we'll do it at my house, but I'm not a good cook or I don't have time to do that part.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
That's smart. Yeah.
Just
showing up at or going around to your friends and going, who's got the biggest house? You know what your house would be great for? Hosting. I'll do everything else. You just open the door.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And you already mentioned that you can use a clubhouse or there's even restaurants that have like, you know, room you can reserve or whatever where you could kind of cultivate the flow and even if it's not your space
and you know I mean that again that doesn't show a lot of your personality of you know the way your home is decorated it's hard to get a warm vibe in a community room of a library
that's true we're not saying that's perfect but that's hospitality
but is it the only way you're going to connect with these people then do it like start there then and then maybe as the trust grows in relationship then you'll be like it's fine just come over you know
so. Well yeah and there's just so many directions you can go that it's often not about having a huge space.
Yeah.
In fact, the comfort level might be more if it's smaller.
That's true.
Well, I thought it would be cool to kind of end on the note of just something like a little practical thing, exercise to think about.
Ooh, you got a little homework for
so
us.
So here's what I was thinking of. Just kind of taking a question to reflect on. When have you been deeply received? And so deeply received that the welcome really touched your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just reflect on the why of that. Like, what was it about that experience?
Yeah.
Or that person or their space or their questions or their whatever. Like, what was it that made you feel so welcomed? And then the challenge of taking that, whatever your revelation is from that, and trying to do it at some point this week.
Replicate it?
Yeah. Or,
oh gosh, okay.
Or just the one step
Of
the practice. Like if it was that the person was a really good listener and they had a blanket available.
Yeah.
When you were on the couch and it made you feel like you were grandma's. Yeah. Whatever the thing is, like could you try it this week?
Maybe you can't replicate the whole thing because maybe it was at a farmhouse. I'm just saying that might have been the example that I just thought of. But maybe I can replicate a fireplace because there was a fireplace.
There's a fireplace. Maybe there was, whatever the thing is. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But could you try just that one aspect of like maybe you have, in fact, in you mentioning the fireplace, I loved something that one of our mutual friends did, Rachel Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
She has 5 children, very busy, pastor's wife, very busy person. And she had Tuesday mornings open on her calendar. And she kind of put the word out of who wants time by the fireplace this Tuesday. Only one person could get it.
Right.
But who wants this Tuesday? And that's whoever awesome. Asked for it got it.
That's
and
you awesome. Got,
and I didn't ever go do it. But yeah. I thought, that is so cool.
That's creative.
She's just setting aside a space.
And she's just, she has, that's the margin she can create. So she's going to put the word out and let you know the space is there.
Yep.
Grab it if you need it.
Come sit.
Yeah.
Not, I don't think she was promising snacks or promising right. anything but a yes. listening ear and a warm fireplace.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, I love
There's
that.
Your challenge.
I love that. And I wanted to say that we're going to be diving deeper into more of like the spiritual discipline aspects of hospitality and what it offers in this month's bonus episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is available to our Patreons. If you don't know what Patreon is, you can check it out at patreon.com/steelmagnoliaspodcast. I'll have the link in the show notes, and you can find out how you can plug in to our community there and support this show and be a part of those that get a bonus episode
have
every
fun.
Month. Well, I enjoyed getting to do that.
I did too.
That was a good
And I'm so
kickoff.
Glad we're back.
Me too. It feels good to be at the table. And we have a sign off that we, many of you guys know as a, like a gesture of passing the peace, if you will. And so if ever there was a need for peace to be passed,
it's now.
It's now. So peace be with you.
And also with y'all.